K-Mud Podcast presents.
Hello, K-Mud. Good morning and welcome to The Choice Is Yours. Today we have Danny. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Doro. And good morning to everyone. This show explores the power behind the products we buy every day. Whether we're shopping for food, clothing, electronics, or household items, our choices can have a far-reaching effect on the environment, our health, and the lives of workers around the world.
Yes, believe it. Consumer choices can drive real change. A good example is McDonald's in Bolivia. You know, the company opened its first restaurants in Bolivia in 97, and they expanded to 8 restaurants in key cities within 5 years. And then McDonald's was gone. And you know why? Because of consumer power.
I love this example. It's so inspiring. And yeah, Bolivian cuisine is deeply tied to indigenous, regional, and family traditions. They love meals that are cooked slowly, served hot, and shared communally, often with locally grown grains like quinoa and corn and their varied potatoes. This cultural emphasis on slow food, nutrition, and heritage placed McDonald's in direct conflict with local expectations of real food.
Yeah, right. Fast food for them, that was seen as like a soulless alternative. It's like clearly not a culinary upgrade. And people just simply didn't go to McDonald's. And Ronald had to close his restaurants to never come back.
Isn't that so cool? Yeah, I mean, if you just don't go to McDonald's, it just won't be there. And so what a thought.
Yeah, consumer power, baby.
Yeah,
for
it's
real.
In our hands. And other examples where consumers' choices affected the industry drastically include microbeads and facial creams, products containing certain ozone-depleting chemicals, cosmetics tested on animals, and in some regions, disposable plastic shopping bags.
Yeah. And so here on The Choice Is Yours, we try to educate, well, first ourselves, and then inform you as much as we can about the impacts of our consumptions to make better choices and influence the world in a positive way. Okay, you know, my mom once told me, but you want me to think about every little thing I'm buying? And I said, yes, Mom, everything, even your toilet paper. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Perfect. But before that, let's get back a little bit into last month's subject, which was bamboo, and see if we experience a little more about any of those products. You can call us right now at 707-923-3911 if you have tested any bamboo products and want to give us your review. Because what we were saying last month is that using bamboo is actually a pretty good option to protect the forests because it grows so fast and it can be used in so many different household products. In different uses, it can replace plastics, it can replace wood, and you could even eat it. And it has great nutritional value. So we love bamboo.
Yeah, that was a very inspiring show. You know, for example, it influenced my in-laws. They were listening to us. And so for Father's Day, Trudy offered to Paul some bamboo underwear. And apparently he loves them. He loves the feel of the fabric. It's apparently really nice.
Wow,
so
nice.
That's cool. Okay, there's a caller, so you keep talking. Girl.
All right, let's hear it. But yeah, I have tried a few bamboo products myself. I think my bed is a bamboo-based bed. And I, you know, we talked a lot about clothing options. And the feel of bamboo is great. And the paper products also stand up against the conventional wood pulp products. And
okay, so I have two reviews. The lady didn't want to go on the air, but okay. She says that at grocery outlet, they have bamboo toilet paper. Uh-huh. Personally, she likes it, but her friend says it's a little rough.
Okay
mixed feeling there.
Yeah.
And apparently they have at Chitakua bamboo coffee filters.
Okay.
And they were great.
Amazing.
All right.
Wow. I remember once also feeling the same way about bamboo toilet paper, like maybe, I don't want to know, when I first started buying it years ago. And now if I use conventional toilet paper, like when I go to your house and Josh, the Josh, particular Josh buys the most luxurious thick, soft toilet paper. And every time I use it, I'm like, it's too soft. It's like, yeah, it's not doing the job anyways.
But I think if he's listening to us right now, he's not going to be able to buy that toilet paper after
today. He
can't
go back. He's just a certain level of luxury. And I hear it. Yeah. But not for everyone. But if you can do it, it's great.
Yeah. And so what are we saying? Like, a lot of bamboo products out there are already really good. And we can imagine that that's going to get even better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, did you tell them our experiment about...
No, but I mentioned that we did one. We should talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
So yesterday, Doro had bought some bamboo paper towels and some conventional ones. And we did a little test like you see on the commercials where there's like a strip of liquid. And I evened it out with my finger. It was very scientific. And just dumping water on the hardwood table, right? And then at the same time, I used equal pressure. I folded the napkins in half and I wiped the liquid away. You know, we like let the napkin absorb the liquid. And then wiped it away. And it seemed like both the napkins did the job for sure.
The table was dry on both sides.
Yeah. The bamboo paper was thinner, but more tough to rip apart.
Right.
It was more durable. Seemed like it absorbed the water faster because it was thinner. And yeah, the conventional paper towel seemed like it would probably fall apart faster if there was any sort of gritty surface or like trying to scrub something. I would imagine that it wouldn't hold up as
maybe
well.
Maybe it was also a cheap paper towel.
It was
the conventional one.
It was.
Yeah.
It was the Up and Up brand.
So maybe we are not comparing but basically what we're saying is the bamboo paper towel did the job. It absorbed the liquid on the table. It didn't break apart. And it's pretty hard to tear it apart.
Feels strong.
So yeah. Yes, it is strong.
Good review.
And that was one that we're going to talk about it more, but that was one FSC one.
Uh-huh.
So when you buy this, you can feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
And it does the job.
Yeah.
So why not?
Just do it. Make a switch. Little switches make a big difference.
Okay. So as you can see, we are very inspired by bamboo. Come on.
What about the toothbrushes? Did you get one?
Yes, so I did get one, and okay, that one is like, so I like the handle,
mm-hmm.
I like the feeling in my mouth, mm-hmm. it's like soft wood, it's really nice, but what I didn't like, so I didn't find one that's all bamboo, so the bristles are actually made with something called Nylon 6, I don't know what it is, but it wasn't rough enough.
Yeah,
so actually,
that was
my
experience too,
yeah.
With bamboo toothbrushes. I imagine maybe if we went online and ordered something, we could find something that was fully bamboo, but...
And especially ask for a rough one if that's what you like, me.
Yeah. I really do like a stronger bristle.
Yeah.
But yes, the handle does feel nice.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it seemed to me that also what we were saying last month is that bamboo is kind of a new industry. I mean, at least in the States, obviously in China, they've been using it for...
As far as replacing our everyday products.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's going to get better and better and better. Maybe the bamboo toothbrush bristle is not super great yet, at least not to me. But try it again in a year and a half. Maybe it's going to be amazing.
It's like the gluten-free bread. It's
just
like you can't disregard it because you had it 10 years ago. It was bad. And now it's great. So there's hope.
Okay, now let's talk about toilet paper because, it is one product that we all consume. And that has, like other products, its own impact on the world we live in.
Yeah, and toilet paper is simple. It's made of cellulose fibers plus chemicals that glue it together. And the fibers are mostly sourced from trees, wood pulp, and also can come from recycled alternative sources like bamboo.
Oh, bamboo again.
Oh, there it is.
Oh my God, we're never out of bamboo anymore.
However, to make the softest, whitest toilet paper, like the one that Josh likes, qualities cherished more and more by consumers, you need virgin pulp made from forest or plantation trees. Because the more the paper is recycled, the shorter the fibers become and the less usable they are.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we found a great article in the New York Times. Yes, we're not the only ones talking about toilet paper. New York Times does too. So they're asking the question loud and clear. Which toilet paper to choose. And it says, If you are in the United States, the roll in your bathroom right now most likely comes from somewhere in North or South America. It could be a blend of trees from the United States Southeast, or maybe from eucalyptus grown in Brazil, or maybe the boreal forest of Canada.
And so what about the old growth boreal forest of Canada? It is the largest remaining intact forest ecosystem left in the world. Just one more time. It's the largest remaining intact forest ecosystem left in the world. And it is home to indigenous communities, along with grizzlies, caribou, pine marten, and billions of songbirds. This ecosystem is vital for humans because it provides climate change mitigation and so many other things. The boreal contains up to 12% of the entire world's carbon stores, making it one of the most essential ecological defenses against climate change that we have today.
But here is the problem. 1 million acres of the boreal forest is being chopped down each year. That's about 7 hockey rinks. Yeah, we're comparing with hockey rinks because it is a Canadian forest. Okay, 7 hockey rinks per minute. And the devastation is releasing, obviously, the stored carbon, and it's fragmenting the habitat of the species that rely on it. You know, I've never seen a hockey, but I can just imagine the size of a hockey rink. 7 hockey rink a minute?
Too much. Way out of control. Just, yeah, really devastating.
We need to do something, people. Come on, yeah. We can't let that happen.
Yeah. And much of this is driven by the need for wood pulp. Canada is the world's largest producer of northern bleached softwood kraft pulp, favored for virgin pulp tissue production. Approximately half of Canada's bleached pulp goes to making these tissue products.
So if I understand right, each year in Canada, 500,000 acres of native forest disappear to make tissue and toilet paper.
Unfortunately,
To be just flushed away.
Yes.
Great.
And in February of 2019, the National Resources Defense Council issued a report on the impacts of toilet paper that is happening to the Canadian boreal forest, titled The Issue with Tissue, and it lays out what clear-cutting vast swaths does to old-growth forests. In particular, the report graded Charmin Ultra with an F because it is made entirely of virgin fiber and does not source all of its fiber from FSC-certified forests.
Yeah, so we'll come back to this report like in a minute because it's really cool. It actually gives a grade to every brand possible. Mm-hmm. But now, okay, so you are charming the Charmin Ultra as a F, but actually every other product made by Procter & Gamble, they all have that F grade. Oof. So it's included Bounty, Charmin, and Puffs. This company, Procter & Gamble, they keep ignoring those critics, those longstanding critics by the environmental NGOs, the indigenous people, even by the customers and shareholders. They keep ignoring it and making the worst toilet paper possible with the boreal forest trees. Mm. And, okay, little thing, recently they released the bamboo toilet paper. Okay, that's good, but no commitment on the other products.
And I would be curious to see what that bamboo toilet paper is treated with and how they
go about that because
it's not just inherently good because it's bamboo. Mm-hmm. It has all of this chemical processing too. We'll get into that. And another big actor that was there was Kimberly-Clark, one of the biggest tissue companies in the States with brands like Huggies, Kleenex, Andrex, Scott, Kotex, and Depend. Maybe you remember that in 2005, a grassroots campaign culminated in the Boreal Day of Action with 350 events in 200 cities spanning the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, there was demonstrations outside Kimberly-Clark facilities across the world. The activists of Greenpeace, they continued direct action. They blockaded the mills. They staged some events in front of the buildings of Kimberly-Clark. That was like a big thing.
Nice. And it did result in Kimberly-Clark committing to have 40% of their fiber in North American tissue products either recycled or certified by the Forest Stewardship Council as soon as 2025.
Nice.
Yeah. And it may not seem like enough, but it is a 71% increase from the 2007 level. So.
Nice. And today, Kimberly Clark, they continue to expand on these goals. They currently report that 93% of their global tissue fiber comes from environmentally preferred sources, including both FSC, so Forest Stewardship Certified Virgin Wood Pulp, and recycled content, 93%. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. And they have also set new milestones aiming to reduce their reliance on natural forest fibers by 50% to go to natural forest free by 2030.
Nice. Yeah, and Greenpeace adds that more importantly, their demand to logging companies for sustainably logged outpaced production. This meant logging companies themselves were actually forced to shift towards more environmentally friendly forms of acquiring timber, leading to less deforestation in the entire industry. It set precedent for a higher standard of sustainable logging while sending big business a message that consumers are willing to choose with their wallets when it comes to protecting the environment. So amazing, right?
Yeah, isn't that great? You know, it actually, like, it affected the entire industry, even the logging industry.
Yeah.
It's a very good example. Like, if, just like the McDonald's example at the beginning of the show, like, if we decide to choose FSC, like,
vote with our dollar.
We vote with our dollars and we can change the entire chain from...
And not just the industry we're voting with in the moment, but yeah, all the industries connected to it. That's so beautiful.
That's fantastic. Okay, so that was about Canada. Now we have to go to the eucalyptus in Brazil.
Yeah, eucalyptus. We love this tree. It's amazing. And it's valued for so many things. Like it's termite-resistant wood for building purposes, its oil has numerous health and household benefits, and its pulp creates products for writing and things like toilet paper. Therefore, eucalyptus trees generate big business worldwide. No surprise. And once again, the problem is not the tree, it is the amount of trees and the monoculture of it.
Yeah, so communities located near eucalyptus plantations in Brazil are likely, I mean, kind of everywhere, are likely to face water shortage because those plantations, they utilize huge amount of water. As we know, those eucalyptus, they pump it up. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, pollution from agrochemicals, including the exposure to glyphosate, which has been linked to various health problems, including increased cancer risk. Hey, by the way, remind me at the end of the show that I want to tell you about my glyphosate allergy.
Okay, I'll remind you. And so Brazil, it's the world's largest eucalyptus producer in the world, with an estimated 7.6 million hectares of eucalyptus plantations. Brazil maintains 30% of the world's total eucalyptus trees. In eastern Brazil, these plantations have replaced the diverse and endemic Atlantic forest ecosystem, with some municipalities seeing nearly 3/4 of their land area being covered by eucalyptus plantations. Large corporations such as Suzano, Fibria, and Vericel dominate this industry, exploring eucalyptus as a pulp for manufacturing products like toilet paper.
Eucalyptus plantations in Brazil, they are known worldwide for providing the best quality fiber, which is critical to the tissue softness, and for premium quality products just. So nearly half of the Brazil eucalyptus wood pulp is going to China, which is the biggest consumer of toilet paper in the world.
And you know that toilet paper was actually invented in China.
Oh.
Not surprising. And guess when?
Tell me.
In the 6th century. Like, it's ancient. And amazing when you realize that the U.S., we've only really been using it since 1850. So we're way behind, as per usual. And before the 1850s, a variety of materials like moss and snow and corn cobs were more common. I love that. Snow seems like a great option. I mean, actually, I don't get the corn cobs very much.
I don't quite understand.
I don't.
No.
I feel like it would do the job, but it also just doesn't seem intuitive. but the moss and the snow sound really nice. And people even used old issues of the Farmer's Almanac. Ouch.
Okay, maybe all of us out there, we've experienced that thing where you have to use some old paper that you just found, right?
It's true. And you Come don't on. Need last year's Farmer's Almanac.
No,
so.
You know. So in the States, that's a guy called Joseph Gaiety who invented our modern concept of toilet paper. And that was, yeah, in 1857. But it took a while to really take off. And today, so you know, American people are 4% of the people of this world, but we consume 20% of the toilet paper of this world.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, now we're talking about the forest.
Yeah, so there is a Mongabay News article that says the rapid expansion of eucalyptus plantations in Brazil and elsewhere has divided environmentalists. A few support pulp exporters' claim that eucalyptus plantations help curb the climate global crisis by storing carbon. Okay. But others note that the carbon storage is only for a limited time, with trees cut and pulped every year. No, every 8 years or so. The use of native trees to make pulp and their cutting to establish plantation also promotes deforestation, obviously.
And the presence of eucalyptus trees and leaves of the eucalyptus and the roots hinder the growth of other plants beneath them because they contain a biocidal oil that inhibits the survival of decomposition of most soil bacteria that comes into contact with them, preventing biodiversity to exist. So we can imagine how these monocultures are affecting the environment. And lastly, pulpwood companies in Brazil have been accused of expelling traditional and indigenous people from their claimed lands. The social and economic footprint of the industrial tree plantation and pulpwood sector in Brazil is dominated by corporate giants like Suzano and extends far beyond the physical expulsion of people.
So we have a caller here who wants to tell us more about Kimberly Clark because we were just
let's hear about it.
Singing their praises. Hey, caller.
Hi. I just wanted to say to the people, keep your eye on Kimberly Clark, a company that the people have to go out and march to get them to do something is not a nice company. I've known of Kimberly Clark since the 40s, and they're politically motivated or they have hidden agenda. So keep your eye on Kimberly Clark, although some of their products are very good. I'm very impressed with Kirkland. I tried their toilet paper not too long ago, and it's not often there, but that's an impressive company, Kirkland, as far as quality.
Wow, good to know.
And so I don't know. Oh, Kirkland, you
Kirkland,
mean the Costco one?
Excellent, I think.
Okay, but do you know anything about their policies with forest cutting?
No.
Okay.
No, right. I don't know. I mean, I didn't have time to prepare for this show.
What were you doing? Come on.
No, thanks for calling. All right, let's continue. Thank you so much. Yeah,
so,
you know, I understand when she says that they're politically motivated. Obviously, they are. I mean,
they're a huge company.
They're a huge company. They have to satisfy shareholders and everything. But I want to trust more a company that's at least trying to do something.
Right.
And obviously, there's a little bit of greenwashing in that story. Obviously, they're like using the numbers that help them good, but at least they're trying to do something. On the opposite, Procter and Gamble is not even trying.
And it's huge.
Not even acknowledging that anything wrong is happening.
Right.
So there's something to say about that.
Yeah. Even if they're just responding under pressure.
Yeah.
At least they're responding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where were you at?
So talking about Suzano and the exploitation of the people in Brazil. The industry is frequently accused of systemic inequities that systemically degrade the health, economic sovereignty, and legal standing of traditional communities, including the Quilombolas, which are the descendants of enslaved Afro-Brazilians, other indigenous groups, and peasant small holders. Traditional communities living adjacent to industrial eucalyptus plantations face extreme environmental health hazards from intensive chemical applications, along with slave-like labor conditions, land dispossession and displacement, destruction of local livelihoods, and water scarcity and pollution, just to name a few.
Yeah, and if that wasn't bad enough, they came up now with genetically engineered varieties of eucalyptus trees. and they are poised to exacerbate a new wave of ecological and social destruction. Brazil has approved 7 varieties of those genetically engineered trees. Some of them are made to be pesticide resistant and are likely to increase the use of toxic chemicals such as Roundup, and other engineered traits such as increased growth rate. And this one, okay, that would make the trees more profitable because they would grow even faster to make the pulp. But I'm wondering about the water use. Like, if they grow so much faster, are they using just way more nutrients and water? I don't know.
Right.
You know, there's a campaign which is called Campaign to Stop Genetically Engineered Trees. It is an initiative from a U.S.-based organization called Global Justice Ecology Project. I think it's a cool one to go and check out what they do if you have the possibility to to work with them in some ways. That seemed like a good one.
Nice. And one of the most insidious trends in false solutions to climate change is the idea that living or biological carbon can offset fossil fuel carbon. An expanding landscape of monoculture industrial tree plantations in Brazil, which rob the forest of biodiversity, displace communities and wildlife, and deplete regions of water resources, is not a solution. It is only greenwashing for companies who have to offset their carbon emissions.
And because wood pulp is easily transported, it can be made cheaply in Brazil and then shipped to the United States or China or anywhere else. So not surprisingly, Brazil is now one of the world's largest exporters and their exports are growing. So once again, we are in front of a poorer country being damaged to produce for the richer countries.
Mm. The forests of the southern United States are known as the wood basket of the nation. So bringing it back to the U.S. And the region produces roughly 60% of total U.S. pulp and paper products and supplies over 18% of global pulpwood.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah. The South has among the most intensively managed forest for timber across the greatest land area. Only the Pacific Northwest has a higher timber production per unit area, but it is concentrated in a smaller region. And we know that here in Northern California. But when we're talking about wood pulp, the South accounted for 80% of the production in the United States. And that's a number from 2013, but it is still tremendous.
And but for U.S. paper companies, it's a big hurdle to overcome the substantial boost that lower labor and energy costs that Brazil provides alongside ultra-fast forest growth rates. Like, I don't know if people realize, but I remember actually being in north of Argentina, very close to Brazil, talking with a farmer there, and he was telling me that he had this little plot of land that he didn't know what to do with, so he just planted some pine trees there, and in 5 years, he would be able to cut them already to sell them. And I was like, wait a minute, like a pine tree, 5 years? Like, I think in our regions, it's like 30, 40 years before we get them. But yeah, so I'm not surprised what we're reading about eucalyptus. They just grow way faster in Brazil than those trees in the southeast of the States.
Yeah.
Yeah. So difficult for the U.S. paper company to play at the same game with Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a recent report by BTG Pactual, and they found that the key problem holding U.S. paper manufacturers back is the high cost of the producing pulp. Their analysis illustrated that the pulp cost is roughly 40% higher in the States than in Latin America because of the wages and the electricity price.
And according to data from the USDA Forest Service, southern pine plantations grew from less than 2 million acres in the 1950s to over 32 million acres by the end of the 20th century. It's kind of hard to fathom millions of acres, and it's like from 2 to 32, but it's just extraordinary. These are primarily lobelia pine monocultures optimized for rapid cutting.
Right. And the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Services notes that native longleaf pine forests, which are highly biodiverse and resilient, they were once 90 million acres in East Texas and Southern Virginia. But logging, development, and conversion reduced them by 97%.
Oh.
So now there's only like 3 million acres left of that beautiful longleaf pine forest.
Oh, wow. And reports compiled by Green America and the Dogwood Alliance note that in peak years, over 5 million acres of southern forest are logged annually, an area larger than the state of Delaware.
And nowadays, it's more interesting for the wood industry to produce wood pellets, you know, mm-hmm. than producing wood pulp. They require about the same size and quality of trees. But so the wood pulp industry here, it's going down. And so it may be a good news for the environment, I don't know, in the southern states, mm-hmm. but more difficult for the toilet paper industry.
Yeah. And then there's the community health impacts. Organizations like the Southern Environmental Law Center and GRIST have tracked the spillover effects of forest grinding mills, including overlapping pulp and biomass pellet facilities. Their studies show elevated localized releases of hazardous air pollutants like methanol and acrolein, as well as high levels of particulate dust.
And no surprise, these facilities are disproportionately sited in low-wealth communities and in communities of color across North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, which is worsening localized respiratory illnesses like asthma.
Oof.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Okay, so after cutting the trees, manufacturers send their trees to a pulp mill.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Mill.
Then they're mashed up into what's called virgin pulp. Virgin means directly from trees without any recycled material. Okay, then they are transform the pulp into the tissue products and ship them all around the world for distribution.
This process uses massive amounts of energy and water. Manufacturers must then bleach the pulp to further whiten, soften, and strengthen the final product.
And in 2024, a study published by the Environmental Science and Technology by researchers at the University of Florida reveals that virtually all of the major toilet paper sold globally contains PFAS.
Mm, there they are again.
Yeah, that is that forever chemical, and they are flushed directly into our water streams to the tunes of 19 billion pounds per year.
But it's not just PFAS, unfortunately. Studies have shown that common brands of toilet paper and wet wipes contain a variety of chemicals, some of which have significant health and environmental consequences. What's crazy is that these chemicals are often the byproduct of convenience rather than necessity in the manufacturing process. What a shame.
Yeah, so here is the breakdown of all the chemicals that are found in the toilet paper.
So, of course, there's the PFAS, and just a refresher since we talk about them all the time, but if you have not heard our show, PFAS are a class of about 14,000 chemicals typically used to make thousands of consumer products, and they resist water, stains, and heat. They are called forever chemicals because they do not naturally break down, and they are linked to cancer, fetal complications, liver disease, kidney disease, autoimmune disorders, and other serious health issues. The PFA levels detected in toilet paper are low enough to suggest that the chemicals are used in the manufacturing process to prevent pulp, the paper pulp from sticking to machinery. And the PFAs are also often used as lubricants in the manufacturing process. And some of the chemicals are commonly left on consumer goods.
I see. So it's not like they put it in the toilet paper, but it ends up there because of the machinery.
Okay.
It's not as bad as we could think, but that ends up there anyway.
The fact that it's still there is the problem.
Yeah. The fact that it exists.
Yes.
And the fact that there is 14,000 of it is
too much.
Okay. Another chemical that's in there is formaldehyde. You know, sometimes they use it to enhance durability, and it's been found, for example, in wet wipes, but also in some toilet papers. And the compounds can irritate the skin and has been classified a carcinogen. What is it doing in our toilet paper if it's a carcinogen?
And can irritate the skin. We're using it on sensitive parts of our body. And then there's also chlorine and chlorine derivatives. many toilet paper brands are bleached with chlorine to achieve a bright white appearance. This process can create dioxins, which are highly toxic and linked to reproductive and immune system issues.
Okay, and you have to pay attention also to not buy the ones that there are few, but the ones with fragrances. As we know, fragrances are like just really bad for our health. We just don't want that anywhere, but especially not in our toilet paper.
Yeah.
All right. So now we have told you to avoid wiping out Canada and Brazil's forest every time you buy UltraServe triple layer white toilet paper. Here comes solutions.
Love it. Bring in the solutions. Yeah. It feels good.
Okay.
Let's go solutions. Over all this and get here.
Nice.
So recycled paper is an option. It keeps trees in the ground and requires fewer resources to be produced. Based on data from paper mills across the United States, the Environmental Paper Network, a nonprofit group, estimates that tissues from 100% recycled material requires about half as much water and 37% less total energy than using virgin fiber from freshly cut trees. And it produces roughly 70% less greenhouse gases.
Nice.
Yeah, and about the comfort, recycled paper has come a long way. Like the gluten-free bread we said, if you tried it 10 years ago, it might not be the same experience. So if you've been disappointed, it might be time to give it a second chance. But hey, you might have an extra sensitive bottom, and we've all got our weaknesses.
Sure. And we don't need to be perfect on everything. But so, however, the recycled toilet paper isn't a forever solution because the supply of recycled material has fallen as the use of paper product has declined. You know, in the last 10 years, the production of printed and writing paper in the States has declined by almost 50%. I guess it's because we use computers, right? And so it might be a good news for the environment. We use less paper, but there is less to be recycled to become recycled toilet paper.
Yeah, and that's why we need to look into bamboo.
Ah, bamboo.
Oh, here it is again.
Yeah, so bamboo toilet paper, it shows big promise as an alternative to tree-based product because it's a grass. It's not a tree. So it grows really, really fast, and it doesn't need much to grow. I mean, you can go and listen to our last show on any podcast app to know everything about bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is converting bamboo fiber to paper. It also requires less water than from virgin wood. A little bit more than for recycled paper, but less than from virgin wood.
Yeah. But all bamboo toilet paper is not made equal. It's recommended checking for a label from the Forest Stewardship Council. It's something we're going to keep talking about, the FSC. And it's to make sure forests weren't cleared in the growing of the bamboo. But with so many products claiming to be eco-friendly or sustainable, how can you be sure you're making the right choice?
Right. So the FSC, it's arguably the gold standard for forest certification. You know, it's an international nonprofit organization. They are dedicated to promoting responsible forest management worldwide. So when you see an FSC label on the toilet paper, it means that the paper is made from a forest, but specifically on your bamboo toilet paper, a bamboo forest managed according to strict environmental, social, and economic standards.
Nice.
Yeah. But, okay, it gets complicated because there are three main types of FSC labels.
So the first one is FSC 100%. This means that the product is made entirely from FSC certified forest material. So that's great. Then there's the FSC recycled. And this means that the product is made from 100% recycled material, of which at least 85% is post-consumer waste. And then there's the FSC mix. And this means that the product is made from a mixture of FSC certified virgin fiber, recycled material, and or controlled wood. Controlled wood is wood from acceptable sources that are not FSC certified, but they're carefully controlled to avoid illegally harvested wood.
Okay, not too bad. Okay.
Yeah.
There are a few other certifications that you can trust, but they guarantee different things, right?
Okay, so yeah, there's the PEFC. It guarantees sustainable forest management based on national standards and chain of custody. There's Blue Angel certification that guarantees 100% recycled content, low emissions, and no harmful chemicals. And then there's the Eco Label, which guarantees a reduced environmental impact through the product's life cycle, including sustainable fiber sourcing and limited use of hazardous substances.
All right. So first thing, look for the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some certifications like the FSC have a certification number that you can use to verify the validity of the certification on the organization's website. Love that.
Yeah, right. Incredible. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, you have to pay attention to the specific claims that they make on the packaging. For example, if a product claims to be made with recycled content, check the percentage of recycled content. Because if it's like 10% recycled, okay, thank you very much. But that doesn't make a big difference.
Not enough. And beware of the industry-led sustainable forestry initiative. So this is the SFI. And the SFI is greenwashing at its absolute worst. It provides no restrictions on cutting down old-growth forests and allows the conversion of old-growth forests into monocultures. It does not protect threatened and endangered species, and it doesn't include indigenous cultures and land management decisions. So always do your research. Remember that the FSC is great and the SFI sucks. So the certification starting with the S is not the one you want. And continue to do your research. If you're unsure about a particular certification, just look it up online and learn more about its standards and requirements. All the information is pretty readily out there.
Sorry, where are you?
Oh, I was asking if we had a caller.
Yeah, we did. And he was saying that his butt was very happy with the
I love it.
In general. No, no. With the 100% recycled that he buys at Safeway. Oh, I didn't write, but I think he said that was called Green... Oh, I know we have it. Green Forest. Green Forest at Safeway, 100% recycled. His buddy's happy.
Okay, love it. Love a customer review.
Okay.
And it is a good time to remind you that we are not investigative journalists nor experts, and we, like you, are consumers who try to make better choices and find information on the internet. With this show, we are only trying to motivate you to pay attention and do your research because we think that choosing brands that are committed to sustainability and transparency can help our money-driven world shift a bit and produce more and more sustainably.
Yeah, and we know, I mean, policy changes are also needed. All the power is not in the hands of the consumers. But, you know, it has an impact. And showing our policymakers that we care, that we don't want the boreal forest of Canada to disappear for the pleasure of our derrière, it can influence them as well. So,
yeah. Okay, so bamboo can change the world of toilet paper? Is that what we're getting at? Yeah. Firstly, while bamboo itself may be more sustainable material, it's also important to consider the origin.
Yeah, all right. So because a lot of the bamboo comes from the Asian countries, right? China or India. And it's cheap to use to us halfway around the world. So obviously, it generates a large carbon footprint.
And then there's a crucial question that arises. Is bamboo toilet paper better or worse for our septic systems?
Okay, so there are several websites that tells us that it depends of the use you make of it. While many brands of bamboo toilet paper are designed to be biodegradable and break down more easily than traditional toilet paper, several factors can influence their compatibility with septic systems.
Yeah, some older systems struggle with thicker materials, while newer systems, septic systems, may handle bamboo toilet paper better. Not all bamboo toilet papers are created equal. Some may contain additives to be thicker than others, which could affect the breakdown time in a septic system.
Well, so basically it's like for other toilet papers.
Yeah, and from our experience too, the bamboo toilet paper was thinner.
Right.
So it's paper towel. So yeah, even according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, biodegradable products, including bamboo toilet paper, can break down in a septic system more efficiently than traditional paper products. Bamboo can decompose in as little as 30 to 60 days under optimal conditions. And that has been our experience as well, too.
Yeah. And you can choose the kind that says septic safe. All right. So what we're saying is that bamboo toilet paper gets our seal of approval.
Love it. And still do your research.
Yeah.
Because they're all not made the same. But there are also other innovative alternative tissues. Where sourcing is also being done closer to TP consumers, Essity, for example, among the world's 9 largest tissue paper manufacturers, inaugurated a facility to produce pulp from wheat straw in Germany in 2021. This breakthrough technology uses less water and energy in production. says initial calculations indicate that the Essity's straw pulp has a 20% better environmental footprint than tissue made from wood fibers. And the tissue is also soft, white, and strong that is made from the wood fiber.
Okay, so white toilet paper manufacturers don't provide exact numbers. The Environmental Paper Network calculator estimates it takes about 6 gallons of water to produce one double roll of toilet paper.
The number of sheets in a roll of toilet paper varies by brand, but if you estimate 200 sheets per double roll and 8 sheets per wipe, each bathroom trip represents about a quarter of a gallon of water.
Wow.
Yeah, bidets are estimated to use between 1/6 and 1/4 of a gallon per spray.
Bidet? Did you say bidet?
Bidets, yes. And you can avoid all the cascading side effects of agroforestry and pulping.
So first of all, I want to tell you that even though I'm French, French people don't use bidet. It's a French word, so you all get confused and think we use bidet, but we don't. Italians do.
Okay,
don't
ask me why. Get to set the record straight.
History is weird, but we don't. We should, but we don't.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you heard about one website called Statistica? I don't especially like it, but they made a great map. So for the love of map, I'm just going to talk about it. It's called How Many Miles of Toilet Paper Do We Use in a Lifetime? Mm-hmm. And so on the map, the bluest countries are the ones using the most toilet paper per head in a lifetime. And guess who are the bluest countries?
Oh. I think I can guess.
Yeah. The U.S. again. Okay, so the U.S. are using 633 miles of toilet paper.
Per person.
No, per person, per lifetime.
Incredible.
It's funny, numbers like this, 633 miles of toilet paper.
That's
insane. Okay, but weirdly, Portugal is even worse. And Japan is kind of right there with the States and Portugal. But strangely, other Occidental countries consume only half of that or less. And Norway, which you would think has the same level of life than the States, for example, consumes very, very little. I don't know why. If some listener there know Norwegian culture better than us and can call us to explain why they consume so little toilet paper, I'd like to understand.
What's the secret?
There are funny differences. Okay, I'm going to say it again. It's a map on Statistica website about how many miles of toilet paper we use in a lifestyle. I love it. Okay, so you know Australians, they consume double than New Zealanders, for example.
Wow.
Why?
Wow.
Why? I don't understand.
Interesting.
Okay, so who consumes the least toilet paper in the world? Nigeria, with 3 miles per person in a lifetime. Indonesia and other poorer countries. Who would have thought that toilet paper was part of the luxury items that only us privileged people of the world have was consuming in inconsiderate amount?
Yeah, large parts of the world use little or no toilet paper at all. Only 25 to 30% of the world uses toilet paper today, and the rest rinse with water or use other means. So what are we waiting for?
Yeah, you know, I was in India recently, and so Indians are not part of those 25% who use toilet paper. So obviously I tried to use the little shower like they do. And it's not so easy, first of all, you know, when you're not used to it, like it's not easy. But then I realized that my wet underwear in this heat was really not a good idea. But then I noticed that the Indian people, they don't wear underwear.
Oh, well, perfect.
So, you know, they use that little shower and then it dries very fast because of the heat and they have no problem. I'm not sure I quite understood the entire system, but, you know, they go along fine with their life not using toilet paper. It's inspiring.
So are you going to give it up, the toilet paper?
Okay. I don't think I can totally give it up. But, you know, at least, you know, if I can use 3 sheets instead of 4 when I go to pee, it that can make a little difference.
Yeah, you know? Nice. And if you, by any chance, live in a place with a bidet, you might want to try it out and, you know, adapt faster maybe than Doro did. So good luck.
You know, I've always disliked the fact that our part of the world here in Northern California, most of the year, we have very few plants with leaves that can do the job. you know, it's too dry and every leaves are small or fragile or even needles. Like you
the redwood needles are not cutting right?
Nope.
but there are some things that are great, like mullein, and its leaves also treat many skin conditions. So using them as toilet paper is a great idea. But maybe you can also grow a special garden of perennial plants that have the right size and texture for your specific needs. Isn't that fun?
Oh, my God. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I found a website that recommends lamb's ear, and I've heard that before. That was how it's been used historically. A little too soft for my taste.
But you don't like the
we've learned that I like it rough a little bit today. there's also the thimbleberry. There's grape leaves and even cabbage.
Oh, my God, cabbage.
The world is your oyster. Yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking on the radio about wiping your butt with cabbage leaves.
Only on K-Mud, baby. And yeah, so while we're talking about sheet count, let's get to the bottom of something really quickly. We'll just make it quick. The toilet paper math.
You know, when you're in the aisle and you see the counts for three, double roll, blah, blah, and you have no idea how to compare different packaging because they all say different messaging.
And I had a feeling about this, but I knew it, but it is largely a marketing scheme. Terms like double, triple, and mega rolls are not standardized because there is no legal definition of what a regular roll is. Brands can use it as an arbitrary small, fictional roll as their baseline to inflate their times as much claims. So this is why the math does not add up. A regular roll today is often significantly smaller than what a regular roll was a decade ago. Brands are downsizing the standard product while continuously shifting the marketing label.
Yeah, and the only way to really compare is to look at the square footage. Have you ever noticed that there is the square footage on there? So you take the square footage, you divide it by the price, and that's how you can compare. So let's finish with that study that is called The Issue About Tissue, and because it gives a grade to every toilet paper we can find on the market. So let's just mention quickly the A+ and the A's.
Yeah, it is Aria, Green Forest, Natural Value, 365 at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Field and Future, Who Gives a Crap, Markall, Simple Truth, Everspring, Greenwise, and Seventh Generation. So those are the ones to keep an eye out for.
That is cool. All right, toilet paper can save the boreal forest of Canada. It can help Brazil with deforestation. It can, like, be careful to the toilet paper you buy.
Yeah, it does have an impact.
Yes. That was The Choice Is Yours.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in with us.
This has been a K-Mud podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.